all of a sudden we start shutting down. Our normal thought processes don't work so well. And that's exactly what happens in the horse. So as a trainer, I don't want to give that horse pain. I want to give him a little bit of pressure, a little touch here and there. And for a horse, let me tell you, Lane, can I borrow you a second? Would you stand up here next to me? Lane and I know each other really well. So to be this close, I feel like he's in my bubble. You know what I mean? Like he's in, this would normally be a little uncomfortable. If, you know, at some point it gets really uncomfortable because he's in my bubble. You know what I'm talking about? Thank you, Lane. I appreciate it. We get uncomfortable when people are in our personal bubble. And so we tend to kind of move away, you know, move away. A horse's bubble, because they're a prey animal, is about 100 yards away. 100 yards away. Now you can imagine, because they're out on the grasslands and they're eating, and their bubble of awareness is, I need to be looking out there. Not right here, because a lion, a tiger, or bear, I can't let them get this close. So a horse's bubble is really big. And again, as I said, they speak sign language. So what you're going to see in this video is the trainer working in a round pen. Now, a round pen typically is exactly that, somewhat self-explanatory. It's about 40, anywhere from 40 to 60 feet in diameter. Sometimes it has solid walls, sometimes just rails. And the trainer will stand in the middle walking small circles. And the horse will be on the outside, typically, moving around. And it's amazing, if you ever have the opportunity, you'll see it in the video, that the trainer, sometimes the trainer, if he really wants to move the horse, this is the longe line, we'll flick that out there like that. We won't hit the horse with it. We don't need to. We'll just come close to his butt. Okay? Can I say butt in church? I'm sorry. I can? Thank you. So a horse will give in to pressure. The other way is always as the horse is moving around, I can literally move that horse by leaning my body. If I lean him towards his head, he'll slow down. If I lean towards his rear, he'll speed up. If I go like this, he'll also speed up. If I drop my hand, he'll slow down. Because this is a threat, and this is not a threat. Okay? Okay, so we're doing really well. So we have a 1,000-pound animal. We got a horse that's full of fears. In fact, I've told my wife for years, horses are really about a 1,000-pound bunny rabbit. If you can picture a 1,000-pound bunny rabbit, you understand the mentality of a horse. They're afraid of everything, and they're very skittish. So a big part of what we're trying to do as trainers is to overcome those fears by getting the horse to trust us, just like God is asking us to trust Him. Also, you need to know horses effectively have two brains. Because they have eyes on the side of their heads and they also have two ears, this eye and this ear control this side of the body. This eye and this ear control this side of the body. They actually have two large lobes for a brain, and they can act, work independently. That makes really good sense if you're a prey animal. With those, that kind of a position in your eyes, they can see 360 degrees around them for all of the lion, tigers, and bears that are after them. But it also makes a challenge for me, the trainer, because not only do we have to train the horse once, we've got to train him twice for each brain. So as an example, if I have a little electric clipper, and I'm going to need to trim the little long hairs on the horse, I'll turn that little electric clipper on and go bzzz. The horse thinks, oh my gosh, he's going to kill me with this thing. He will. He thinks it's an oversized bumblebee. And he'll be all, oh, don't touch me with that, please. And then pretty soon you go, you're all right, you're right. Oh, he goes, oh, okay, that's cool. Okay, that actually feels pretty good. Okay, good. Then you walk around to the other side of the horse and turn it on. He goes, oh my gosh, what is that thing? I've never seen it before. Yep, that's the mentality of a horse. So you've always got to train a horse twice at least. I'm a lot like that. I'm betting you're a lot like that too. We need to be trained more than once. So you're a lot like a horse. All right, we're moving right along. All right. Can I borrow you for 1 second more? Lane's such a good guinea pig, isn't he? Come here, Lane. Y'all ought to give Lane a hand, right, for just being a great... Yeah, Lane, we like you. you know, this guy is so good, you know, to come up here and be my guy and, yeah, get my bubble right here. So you see what he's doing? What you didn't know is I'm pushing on him. I'm pushing on him. And he's standing there. He's pushing back. Did you know? Yeah, if we do that, we kind of, you know what? Go ahead. Thank you very much. We all do it. Horses do it too. They lean into the pressure. We do it too. And that can be a good thing, except when God's trying to get you to move. And then you're leaning into God going, I'm fine right here. Don't move me. I'm fine right here. But once we've gained the horse's respect and trust, the next thing we want to teach him to do is to yield. When I ask him to move, even suggest that he move, I want him to yield. Now, sometimes I do want him to stand, but when I ask him to move, I need him to yield. And so that's a very critical piece. And again, I see that in my own life. When God comes alongside and God brings a little pressure, and you go, I'm fine right here. I'm standing right here. I'm not going to move. And the pressure gets more and more. You go, no, I'm standing right here. And God, really what God wants to say, what the trainer wants to say, what the horse is, move over and get off my foot. Or I need you to move in order to be safe. But the horses don't believe to be safe. They think, I'm fine right here. Number one thing the horse worries about is his survival. Number two is reproduction, but that's really not going to come into play in church. Okay. The second thing you know about is the God. And we already said earlier that in this scenario, our trainer, the master, is playing the role of God. Okay? Cool. What I wanted to leave you with is, not leave you with, but here's almost my one and only text out of the Bible for today. It's Proverbs 3:6 and or 3:5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." What I want to pick out and we out of that is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And that's exactly what me as a trainer, I'm trying to do with the horse. I want the horse to acknowledge me. So he's off worried about everything, right? Everything, because he's so fearful. What I want him to do is to acknowledge me. In just a second, we're going to play this video. And what you're going to see is the horse enters the arena. Actually, the guy's just turning him loose. The trainer's just turning him loose. And the horse doesn't know anything about it. It's a two-year-old thoroughbred. The trainer happens to be the famous Monty Roberts. Who's heard of the horse whisperer? Ever heard of that term, horse whisperer? Monty Roberts is the original horse whisperer, if you will, for the last 50 years. He's changed this industry. He's just an amazing guy. But you'll see Monty turn the horse loose, and off he goes. And that horse, you'll see him running around with his head all high, and he's shaking his head. He's just full of himself. And for our analogy, if you will, we're going to make that round pen our world. And for that moment, we're going to see the horse running around, and you'll see the horse's head to the outside, and he's like looking, checking everything out, and there's people up high, and it's like, yeah, I'm in my world, I'm doing my own thing, I do not need this guy in the middle. Doesn't even really acknowledge him. But once in a while, you'll see the master trainer moving his body, chasing the horse, doing one of these, and to a horse, again, because a horse's bubble is so big, if the horse was back in that where Travis is, in that round pen, I can move that horse. I can move him by leaning my body this way, or giving him a little of this, or if I need to, I can toss the lunge line out there. So I don't have to be right at the horse in order to give him pressure. He feels that intuitively by himself. So you're going to see him, he's running around, he's just all of himself, but once in a while, the master reaches out and says, I want you to pay attention to me. I want you to know me. I want you to respect me. So you're going to see that. Okay? I'm going to toss that down there. We want the horse to acknowledge us. All right. I think we're ready for that video. And I'll kind of narrate a little bit, but I've already told you about it. Here's Monty turning that horse loose in the round pen. And then he says, go ahead. Do your thing. And the horse takes off. And the horse is going at a pretty good speed. He'll get going a little faster. And the horse shakes his head, and he's feeling, oh, yeah, I'm all that. Yeah. But the master's penalty, go ahead. I'll act like a predator. And the horse, oh, yeah. How often in our world, when God's trying to get our attention, do we just go, oh, no, I'll run around. I'm okay. What happens here very quickly, this whole thing takes about 10 to 15 minutes. The horse starts getting fatigued. When you're running in a circle, in this case, the right side of his body is bearing most of the load on his, from his weight. So his right side will fatigue pretty quickly, and he goes, I want to kind of quit. How many of us, when we're in the world and we're doing our own thing, before we knew Christ, we're going, man, this is great. And at some point we recognize it's not all of what it was cracked up to be. It's not meeting all of my needs. I'm tired of this. Is there something else? Now we reverse the horse because he wants to train him on the other side of his brain, right? He trained him on the one side. Now I appear on your right side. Now I'm appearing on your left side. So he's training the horse, both brains. Thank you. We'll come back to that in just a second. So you can see a struggle going on here. The horse wants to do his own thing, yet the master is pursuing him, just like God at one time pursued most of us, or maybe is pursuing us today. The horse thinks he's in control. The horse, in fact, has control. The horse can go fast, slow. The horse can go anywhere he wants in the arena here or the round pen, but the master's there. So you can see from our perspective that while the horse thinks he's in control, he's really not. The master's in control, isn't he? So, when I went, the horse is, in this next video, again, pick up where the horse is getting a little tired, then the master begins to look for the signs that the horse is going to give up, that the horse is going to surrender, that the horse is going to acknowledge him. The master's going to look for four things. He's going to look for that inside ear, whichever one's about. In a minute, he'll go back the way he originally did, and the horse will go a little slower, but it'll be hard to pick up. But that inside ear, all of a sudden, will go, boom, it'll turn to the master. Oh, now I'm listening. Now I'm listening to what you say. The next thing you're going to see is in horse language, I'm looking for a leader. I think I'm going to bow to you, if you will. The horse will drop his head, and he'll keep moving pretty fast, but his nose will be just above the ground. This is the second symbol that the master's looking for as the horse begins to surrender, okay? Then as the horse drops his head, typically right about that same time, he starts licking his lips. Could be difficult to see, but the horse will first his ear, then he drops his head, and then he's licking his lips. And in horse language, he's saying, I'm getting tired of this. It hasn't gotten me anywhere. I'm right back where I started. Well, duh, you're running in a circle. This is just like our lives too, isn't it? We're right back where we began until we realize this is not working out for me. I need to try something different. Oh, here's somebody in the middle. I wonder if there's an opportunity. Maybe I should be turning to God. I don't think the horse is turning to God, but this is our travels, right? And so then the fourth thing that the master trainer's looking for is the horse will begin to come off the wall. And the horse will start to edge off the wall a little bit, and he'll start to come into the center of the arena. And here it's hard to tell, but there's one or two passes that he'll make, and he'll be a little off the wall. As the horse in horse language is saying, his head's down, he's licking his lips, his ears are forward, I'm coming off the wall, I want to be close to you. But I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if I can trust you, but I want to be close to you. What will you offer me? At this point, the trainer's got to be really sensitive. What we're looking for is not for the horse to quit. We want him to surrender. And there's a big difference. Quitting, if the trainer stopped right now, when the horse said, I'm ready to quit. As soon as the horse was rested, he'd just take up right where he left off. How is that not like our life? When we're fatigued and we're tired. Lord, I'm so tired of sinning here. I'm so tired of being fearful. I'm so tired. I want relief. And what you're going to see the master trainer do is, I want you to keep moving, horse. The horse wants to quit. And you'll see the master toss the rope and move the horse up. You'll see the master start extending his hand. I can't let you quit. I can't let you quit. You're not ready to quit. I need you to move. What I need you to do is surrender. And the horse hasn't surrendered yet. But in just a couple more rounds, the horse comes to mind. He thinks, I can't just quit. I got to surrender. And it's a subtle, somewhat subtle change in the horse. As a trainer, we can recognize. But then what you'll see is a horse will slow down and the master will let him slow down. Because a horse thinks best when he's moving slowly. If he's moving fast, it means he's kind of in a panic. So the horse slows down and he's deep thinking. Can I trust this guy? Can we trust God? Can we trust God? But in order to trust God, I've got to surrender. Not just quit. I've got to surrender. And that requires a lot. And at just the right moment, when the horse is ready, when we're ready, God welcomes us. And what you're going to see is Monty Roberts, the horse begins to slow, almost to a full stop. Monty, instead of facing the horse now, because this is a predator stance, Monty's going to turn and offer the horse his shoulder and say, follow me. How often in our lives, probably every one of our lives, we've had that experience when God offers us the opportunity to say, come. Follow me. And you'll see Monty doing that. The response from the horse, if you've never seen it before, is amazing. The horse doesn't hesitate. The horse steps right in the center, and he begins to follow Monty. We call that join up in the horse industry. The horse joined up to us. And what you'll see in the later videos is the horse is so happy to be in the middle. The horse is so happy to be with the master. Because what the horse finds out is that out in the world, it's a hectic pace. We're moving fast. And I just keep going round and round and round. That the only place of safety and rest is near the master. And the horse comes to the master. Let's go ahead and play that next video. So here's Monty moving the horse around. You see, there the horse's head drops. Now he starts licking his lips. Monty says, you can't quit. Get going. You're not ready yet. The horse said, but I want to quit. This isn't working out for me. The master says, not yet. I need you to surrender. And the horse comes off the wall, comes close to him here. Begging for a new leader. Will you be my leader, the horse says. I'm thinking I want to trust you. And Monty says, I can't. You're not ready yet. Move up. I need you to surrender. And so he moves the horse back up. Now the horse is feeling the tired and the fatigue. And all the way up to a canter. And Monty says, keep moving. Keep moving. The horse says, I want to quit. I want a new leader. I want a new leader. You can't quit, master says. I can't quit. You'll just go back to what you were doing before. I need you to surrender. Now he's dropping his head. The horse is almost begging. I need a new leader. I'm willing to trust you. Will you be my leader? Will you be my leader? I want you to be my leader. And he tests him one more time. I don't know if you're quite ready. Are you ready? Is the heart, God would be testing our hearts. Are you ready? About one more time around, the master's going to say, yeah, he's letting him walk now. Let the horse think deeply. He's thinking, give a horse a chance to think. Just like us, it's a decision. The horse has to take an act of his own free will to come to the master. And he turns and he invites the horse to follow him. And the horse follows. And he always will. Now the master will turn and pet him. Horses don't like to be patted. They like to be petted. And this is his reward. And he's telling the horse, well done, good and faithful servant. You've come home. Now we can begin. Now he has the horse's respect. He's got his trust. And these two become the foundation of all of the training that will come in the future. When God has our respect and our trust, he begins to train us. And what are the disciplines for us? For the horse, I should say, it's more work like this when they're young. And then you put the saddle on, and there's lots more work and long lines and trails. There's almost the training never stops. Guess what? In our life, God asks us to read his word, to pray, to fast, right? To fellowship, to memorize the word. And it never stops. There's always more that we can learn, isn't there? Join up. When that horse surrendered and joined up, I call that the come to Jesus moment, if you identify with that. When the horse says, I want you to be my leader. Lord, be Lord of my life. This next video, it's cute. It shows the horse following the master all around the pen. I just wanted you to get a sense that this isn't just a one-second shot. This follows here immediately. Go ahead and play that video, if you will. Monty again reassures the horse, you're in the right place. Well done. And then Monty says, I'm going to go this way. And the horse says, I'm following you. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Notice Monty doesn't have a lead line on the horse. The horse is voluntarily following him. In fact, the horse is saying real close to him, isn't he? Like, you're not going to get me back out in the world. You're not going to push me back out to the wall. I'm going to stay really close to you because this is the place of safety for me. And you see? And then Monty stops again. Well done. Way to follow me. Have you heard God say that to you? Well done. Way to follow me. So, this is so important that the horse would follow you. My own horse, my own experiences. Sometimes out on the trail, we would come across obstacles, be it logs, situations, rocky areas, streams, wooden bridges, things that we hadn't prepared for, we hadn't really trained for. And the horse, I'm up there and go, come on, it's going to be all right. I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. He goes, I'm just not sure. I'm full of fear. And then I, as the master, recognize, oh, that's right. You haven't been exposed to this before, and you're full of fear, and I would get off. And I would say, follow me. The horse always followed me. As long as I went, he'd follow. If I went over the edge of a cliff, I swear that horse would have followed me over the edge of a cliff. Because he trusted me that much. So I always knew when the going got really rough, if I needed to, I could dismount and the horse would follow me. That's what I want to apply to our lives too. When the going gets rough, how do you get through? Follow God. See, when the going gets really rough, we can't stop in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, if you will. We've got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm a horseman. If I'm in the valley of the shadow of death and my horse is frozen and won't move because he's petrified with fear, I'm going to get off and say, follow me. And God will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death in our worst nightmares. The Bible portrays God as a refuge where we can find safety. Psalm 144 says, he is my loving God, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield. Indeed, he is. As we train the horse, we train him to yield to pressure. Sometimes that pressure is when the horse is far away. Sometimes the horse will actually be on the horse. And I'll say, when I want to give the horse a little leg, and what I'm going to do is, whatever leg I want to use, I'm going to apply a little pressure. And my foot will be in the stirrup. My foot will be in the stirrup, and all I'm going to do is turn so my calf muscle touches the horse. Am I right? I'm going to give him a little leg. Now, his natural inclination, of course, is I'm giving him a little pressure. He's going to lean into that pressure, right? But I've trained him now. Now he yields. He moves his body away from that pressure. And that's the way we begin to train horses. In this next and last video, I want to show you something amazing. You probably have all seen, I know you all seen, people on horses. We use our bridles to control the horse somewhat. We use our legs, our hands, our seat. Everything about our position on the horse tells him what we're doing. If I want my horse to go that way, and we're headed this way, I'm literally going to turn my pressure in the saddle to my right cheek and give him a little left leg. And guess what? The horse senses that. Good run on back. He goes just like this. The impossible blows my mind, though. And it really stretches my imagination. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, you recall Peter and the disciples are in a boat on the lake. And they're rowing and rowing and rowing, right? And the wind's really hard against them. And it's not very comfortable. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. Remember that story now? Yeah? Okay, and they think it's a ghost because only ghosts could, you know, float like on the water. But of course it's Jesus. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you. And he says, come. Now it's a command from the master. Come. And Peter, I think Peter was a horseman as much as he was a fisherman. He knew what we now know, that the safest place to be in the midst of trouble is where? Near the master. So Peter, I'm not staying in the boat with the master's out there. The safest place for me to be is with the master. Peter's pretty smart. He's at least as smart as this young horse. So Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water. That blows my mind. Blows my mind that somebody could do that. We can do the impossible as well. And to show you an example of it in the horse realm, I'm going to play this next video. When a rider can ride a horse, amazing, without a bridle, without a bit, head stall, or reins, or even a saddle, you would think it would be impossible. Go ahead and play it. Little leg. She's holding on to his mane just because the horse's hair is so slippery, she'd slide off otherwise. Now a little right leg, and the horse yields. An amazing partnership between these two. Somebody would have told me, Bob, you could ride like this, and I never have, actually. I'd say it'd be impossible. You tell me, well, if a man can walk on water, that's impossible too. That's a sliding stop. It's very difficult to do. And she encourages that horse, just like God would be encouraging us, and say, we're doing well. Now let's show these people what we can really do together. A little leg. A little reverse. She does it all without saying a word. And she says, well done. What I love part about the communication between a trainer and a horse is that it's not verbal. I can't tell you the last time God spoke to me. You know what I mean? Like spoke to me. I haven't heard him speak like that. But he can talk to me just like I talk to horses. He can show me a little pressure here and I'll yield. He can ask me to do something and I'm going to do it because I trust him. I respect him and I come to love him. So in closing, let's review what we've learned about God from horses this morning. Trust God. Know that he cares for you. That horse didn't think that man cared for him. He thought he was a predator, but he came to understand that that man representing God really did care for him. And it made all the difference. Know that God is the safest place for you to be. If you're in trouble, run to the Father. That's the place to be. Trust God, yield to his suggestions, commands, and great things are possible. Follow him closely, just like this horse follows. He may not speak audibly, but we must follow and watch closely every day. Look for him and see what he's saying to you. I hope through this horse story, you've come to know something more about horses, about God, and about your relationship with God. Let's pray. Lord, we've had fun this morning talking about trust. And trusting you is serious business. It's life and death. It's that kind of serious. But we say we want to be followers and we want to follow hard after you. So we're asking you right now, Holy Spirit, come help us to make that decision to follow you more closely than we ever have before. To trust you more deeply with the tough things in life. Lord, we recognize that the safest place for us is next to you. And we want to give you the glory and honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening. Happy trails.